All right, you vampires out there, this is Jyrki from the 69 Eyes, your favorite Helsinki vampire, and you're listening to Sonic Respectives.
This is Scott Medina for Sonic Perspectives. We're going to have a fun talk here with Jyrki. Hey, welcome from Finland. It's good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, it's great to be here as a guest, even though we're pretty far away from each other. But, you know,
we are.
Have good times and let's share the vibes.
It transcends location. So that's no problem. And
yeah, technology is very weird these days, man. it unites us, but it divides us as well.
It does.
What happened? It was supposed to unite us. But the only thing that really still unite us is rock and roll, man.
That's one. And having the technology to, you know, just be able to talk to you across the continents, that's one positive thing for it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and all the rockers, we should keep together, you know, keep in touch with each other and, you know, carry on the Johnny Thunders and Lemmy torch, Gene Vincent's torch, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keep the spirit alive.
Well, and you've been keeping it alive. I mean, look at this band, the 69 Eyes. You're celebrating your 30th anniversary this year. How incredible is that?
Oh, yeah, that's insane. And it's like, I always been explaining about this, like, last couple of decades about the history of band. And now it's even more peculiar because we're 80s band. We started 1989,
yeah.
You know, those days. Remember what happened then? There was like, remember what was the movie of the summer in 1989? Or do you even know? I don't know if you were born.
I was around. That was my decade. Yeah.
Okay. So it was Tim Burton's Batman.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, and what happened? And then the fall came. What was the movie then? Original Pet Sematary. So, you know, that was the time, you know, if talking about movie, like how was the moviescape? Those were the movies.
Right.
And then the sound capes was like The Cult, Mötley Crüe,
mm-hmm.
Guns N' Roses, Sisters of Mercy, Billy Idol, you know.
Absolutely.
That was our soundscape.
It was.
And then, you know, there was like five glammy guys in Helsinki, and we decided that what about starting a band? I was frustrated because, you know, those days in the 80s, you were supposed to dress up like your favorite band, and I was literally looking like, and you know, like that. And
mm-hmm.
I was traveling around the world just for fun. I was in London, or I was in New York, or I was in Helsinki, and the same thing happened over and over again. People came to me like, hey, you look like a rock star. What's your band?
Nice.
And I didn't have a band. And that was embarrassing. Like, I don't have a band. So I decided after that summer of 1989 that I need an answer. So fall came, and we actually literally started the band in September. So we had the first rehearsals. And first of all, I lured myself in like a friendly guy. I will do your flyers. I was drawing comics. I was a little bit known of that then. So I said, like, I can draw you your, you know, flyers, make logos or stuff like that. I just was curious to be in the rehearsal place with the band.
Mm.
Those guys were starting. They were, you know, trying to start a band, and I was accidentally there or just interested to hang out or so anything. And then I tried being a temporary singer, and then all of a sudden we have a little rehearsed, and all of a sudden was about somebody told that, hey, we could have a show. And then, you know, I have a temporary name for the band, and that was the 69i. So everything was temporary. Everything has been temporary 30 years.
For 30 years, look at that.
Yeah. And but you know, I solved one problem. So then I'm there. And then once again, somebody approaches me. Hey, you look like a rock star. What's your band? The 69i's. And then the best pickup line ever is like, hey, babe, do you want to come to see our band? I can put you to the guest list. So, you know, those days it worked like magic.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would be these days, but you know, like that was the main goal. I felt stupid because I didn't have a band. And then I have a gang. I have like these four other guys. We were like a gang. So if I went to rock bar, the guy in the door said like, yeah, your bandmates are already there in your usual table. You know, that was cool.
Nice.
Or somebody said, I just saw your bandmates around here.
Right.
Or asked me, is the whole band here? Because I just saw the bass player very drunk or something like that. So, you know, that was something what I needed in my life. And then, you know, of course, getting popularity among girls, and that was cool. And of course, then the music was there as well, which was became more and more important, which is now the why we are doing this great to be creative and so on. But I like to talk about these early reasons to start a band, because I like to have them still there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't there's enough how would I say? There's enough talks from very professional musicians of this and that. I like to talk about this youthful adventure, which have been taking 30 years of my life. And I'm very happy at the moment. I'm 50 years old, and I have a rock and roll. I played 30 years in a rock and roll band. If I was 50 years old and I have played 3 months in a rock and roll band, that would be kind of a other story. But this... With this age and this legacy behind, that's cool.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Yeah,
feel great and great, yeah. And it's getting actually. I'm trying to ask from the people around me if there's any left or whoever listens to my rants. Like, am I just imagining? But things are actually getting well. With our band, has always been getting more and more interesting, or something's happening differently or even better all the time. So as a band, I think we are at our best, definitely live-wise. If you come to see us on stage, we're never being this tight. Well, we have rehearsed 30 years, so we should be tight. But you know, and then we have the legacy of songs that people come to listen to. People have listened to us like 10 years, 20 years, and then on the other hand, we just are about to release a new record, which is our 12th, I think it's. Sounds fresh. It doesn't sound like tired old band.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, it's getting kind of interesting as well. Like all of a sudden, a lot of our contemporary bands have gone. Artists are no longer with us. Somebody's got to do this. But we're happy to continue this as we always done.
Well, you started off with, you know, just mentioning how things were kind of temporary. Well, yeah, the name was just temporary there, and then it stuck for 30 years, and the band members, I mean, you've had pretty much the same band members almost the entire time. What's the secret to that longevity of everybody staying together?
Yeah, well, I think it's a whole gang point, you know, where more like it's lifestyle, it's gang, and it was never, you know, we didn't put up the band to be, you know, like a business,
yeah.
You know, like Gene Simmons talks about band as business, and it's interesting when it works that way. But for us, it was deeper thing. Our expectations were totally different than making it our, you know, job. I wouldn't call being in the 69i's as a job. It's of course it's been over the years as we sell, you know, like over a million records. It's been a profitable for some people, even sometimes for us. But it's deeper than that. It's just the urge of, you know, play rock and roll and being inspired by the, you know, like once you got bitten by that, you know, whatever it is, for me it was like, actually as we're speaking, it's Friday 16th of August, and this same date in 1977, Elvis Aaron Presley left the planet. And then, you know, those same time, I saw the funeral from TV as a kid. And I was wondering, like, what's going on? Like, who is this guy? Why all these people are, like, mourning? Who was this guy? Because I just saw a movie of his on TV just a couple of, you know, weeks before. And it was strange because the guy was a boxer. And during some boxing match, he started to sing. And I was like, what is this? And my mother told me, like, oh, it's American artist. He's called Elvis. And the movie was actually called Kid Callahan. So, and then a couple of weeks later, in the news, in a national news, there's this funeral, the same guy I just, you know, knew a little after that movie. And I was wondering, how come this guy is so important? And then I discovered rock and roll straight up, you know. And you know, so ever since that, I'm here, and I'm I got bitten by that thing, whatever it is,
yes.
Like the spirit, Elvis, every spirit, and let's go on that too deep, but you know what I mean. So, you know, whatever inspired you to be a rocker, it's still there, and you know, like, and it should be there, and it's still the same vibe, and it's deeper than, you know, like, you know, sometimes, I guess, especially in the metal world, these days, sometimes it's a business and you change workers or, you know, head of office there or something like that. But we're closer to, you know, like a gang of guys. And if you leave with your boots on.
Right. Over all those decades, would you say that your audience has evolved and changed as well?
Well, when we started, we were like, our audience looked like Rocky Horror Picture Show leftovers. It was like really 80s audience, you know, like glam people and goths. And then, you know, like all through the years, well, you know, like it has been changing. And especially here in Finland, it took us 10 years to develop our sound, how you know it these days. We were trying a lot of things. We've always were interested in just to sound like a contemporary new band, even though our, you know, influences were, you know, like in the early days of rock and roll or even Johnny Thunders or things like this. But we wanted to sound new. And it took 10 years once we got this sound, which is, you know, like how you know us now. So that really took us on radio. In Finnish radio here, and then we became like really famous here in our own country, and all of a sudden records were selling platinum, like back in those days, and gold, and right. And still today, if you open up a local rock radio here in Finland, there is really stations that play all the rock music here in Finland. So
nice.
There's like a classic songs with your classic ZZ Top, Sharp Dressed Man, but there's also, you know, Lost Boys by the 69 Eyes over there. Or even if you actually go to LA, if you go to Rainbow Bar and Grill, they play Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue, and then there's 69 Eyes, Lost Boys there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, at some point, we reached that level that our music really started to matter and reached a lot, like, wider audience. So here in Finland, we're a mainstream band. If you come to see us here, you might be, and sometimes it happens that people come here, travel all the way, then they come up with their wildest Halloween outfit, and then they come to our show, and everybody else looks like in Finland that they came to see, like, John Fogerty, you know. so it's like some countries we are dark, sinister, cult band, mm-hmm. and some like in Finland we're a mainstream band, and we're like fucking vampires, but they like it like that, you know. But it doesn't mean that you have to dress up in black coming to see us here in Finland, you know. So the audience is basically actually grown up with us. Every time we have a new record there, so of course in the front row when you go on stage of the new record, there's the front rows are always like fresh, brand new young audience, girls and guys who have dressed up first time to their rock show, uh-huh. you know, maybe secretly changed their clothes after leaving home or something like that.
Right.
And then there's the older audience, but it's like, unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not especially very inspired by the fact, but we are living of times of talking. When you talk about music and being in the band or being a musician or artist, we are talking about algorithms, right? Hmm. So if I check out our algorithms, they tell me that the people who are listening to our music, they are not passive listeners. Passive listener means like you are listening to summer 2019 playlist, and then it's great stuff, but there's a lot of artists that you will never know who they were. And yeah. you will like the songs, but you probably don't have time to check out even who was the artist. And most likely you don't go to see their shows or, well, return to their music or something like that. So the 69ers is not a playlist band, so the algorithms tell. So we are a band that people specifically go to listen to. And so there are people who have been listening to us like 10 or 20 years, you know. So it's pretty much the same audience. It's like a vampire family around the world, and that's good.
Yeah,
that's cool. And of course everybody's welcome, and especially fresh blood is always welcome. But that's our case, and I'm good with that. You
yeah.
know?
Well, now you've got something new coming up for them to listen to as well. Your 12th album, West End, comes out, and what makes this one special for you?
I think it's like the 12th sounds great, crazy. Actually, I don't think it is it like embarrassing or not. Maybe actually have to do a new record because it's our 13th album.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
so Beatles did 12, and seriously, I've been thinking like, should we like secretly not to tell anyone, and please don't tell anyone. But I've been thinking like, hold on, Beatles did 12 albums. Would this be the last album for the 69ers? Should we like follow the legacy this way? But at the moment, I don't feel like that because the new album is very, I've been saying just for fun in the interviews that our previous album was our worst record and this is our best ever.
Wow.
Just because this is like, this rocks. It has a lot of cool guitars. The guitarists play a lot of time to get the guitars exactly how they want it. So mm-hmm. it's very carefully crafted in that sense. And it sounds fresh. It sounds timeless, like our records always do. And I think the world is somehow strangely ready to, you know, to listen to us again for a while. You know, mm-hmm. for a while. I mean, it's been very. It's always untrendy to play rock and roll, but it's good times right now. Come on, Stray Cats did a new album.
I know.
Black Keys did a new album. Raconteurs mm-hmm. did a new record. So rock and roll is obviously back.
Yep.
So you know, we are here too. We're here meanwhile as well. So, but who cares? Let's enjoy the ride. It's the best ride by far right now.
And even though it's your 12th album, I do see you managed to have the release date be on a Friday the 13th in September.
Oh yeah. That was really hard to convince everybody that has to be the date.
Right, nice. Nice. What's behind the title West End?
It's like a cool two words, West, you know, go West, young man. Mm-hmm. I love the West.
Yep.
And then the end, that's always near. Mm-hmm. So it's just cool two words together. They work. They maybe predict something about the future. Maybe they tell about the present day, what's going on. It's just dark, nice, imaginary. And on the other hand, as you already revealed, you've been around as long as I've been, nearly, at least. So remember the early 80s, those were super seriously darker times than now. You know, millennials are like whining like, oh, it's horrible, the news, and these times are really dark now. Come on, man. In the early 80s, we were living in the constant fear of nuclear war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was all the time everywhere. And then, you know, that's why we started dressed up in black. And that, you know, created, that atmosphere created like a gothic rock and all the dark wave and all that back then. So, but, you know, the dark times then, they created a lot of other things. It's same as now. So I like to see it like this now, like, okay, we're living pretty chaotic, well, extremely chaotic and unpredictable times. So I just wanted to get some, you know, like inspiration from that and create something around that theme. So I think that's my contribution for these present day times. West End is like something I get inspired by what's going on all the time. You know, just maybe it's a cool title. If it gives some thought for somebody, that's also good. But it's just mainly a cool title for a rock album, dark rock album in 2019.
Yeah, I agree. There's, you know, definitely a theme of films that run in your life and then with the band as well. And so I'm assuming on the new album that The Last House on the Left, that song has a connection to the classic Wes Craven horror movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, the Wes Craven has been around with the 69 Eyes like always. Our one of the first songs we ever wrote, which was our second single, if anybody cares, like in 1990, there was a song called, and still is, if you check out from sources, the song called The Hills Have Eyes. That was mm-hmm. like Wes Craven movie. Yeah. So it was time to get done his first movie, The Last House on the Left, and from 1972. And also the remake is really, really good. So I heard the instrumental demo of the song, and strangely, I don't know where the title just came to my mind, and I always loved the title, and I just forced it into the song. Then I ran into Wednesday 13, which I've known since the Murderdolls days, but I haven't, and we've done numerous of tours all over the world, but I haven't seen him for a decade. So I ran into him, I think at the Whiskey A Go Go and in Hollywood, and I said like, hey man, we haven't done anything for such a long time. Let's do something. Like, would you like to be on our next album? And he said, yeah, man. And I had the song, and I wanted him to finish the lyrics. I had the chorus, nice. First verse, and I said like, hey, let's please write it like along the storyline of The Last House on the Left. And then in the end of the song, to go it like that, we need a female voice. And obvious choice was Calico Cooper, the singer from Bisto Blanco, but also has a history with the 69 Eyes. We filmed a music video for Never Say Die. Everything happened 15 years ago, 2007, something in LA. And there's a scene that the 69 Eyes is playing in the middle of the night by the LA River, and a lot of punks and glam people are, you know, dancing around us. And year after that, somebody pointed out like, hey, did you know that you have Alice Cooper's daughter in your video? And we're like, what? And it was like Calico, Alice Cooper's daughter, was jumping around in our video. And so she's part of the family. She was qualified. She did also like great job on the song. So it's, and also to add there like a Sherry on the top, there's Donny Filth on that song as well.
Right.
Donny Filth from Cradle of Filth. Donny Filth from Dimmu Borgir. Sorry, Donny Filth from Cradle of Filth. And, you know, it's just like an old team-up horror punk song for everybody for Halloween 2019.
Perfect, yeah.
All good time fun and, you know, among friends.
Exactly. That's what it's about. That's so good. You and you also released a solo album not too long ago. Did taking the time to do that change the way that you approached the 69 Eyes when you returned to record?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, the solo record was done and with the producer John Lee Michaels, who has been working for us for such a long time.
Yeah.
But we're always limiting his. He's a keyboardist and a composer and you know, like arranging things like from that sense. So we're always limiting him. The new Six and Ice album is very guitar driven, but that might be, which is good. That might be because he used all his, you know, like perversions for keyboards on my solo record. All the songs were written by him, and he played all the instruments. And also, so there was no limitations how much keyboards or orchestrations or strings or anything he can use. So he used everything he wanted on my solo album. So I hope that sort of like emptied him. So now for the new album, you know, we didn't have to tell like, hey, get those keyboards away. there's more guitars on that, and that serves a purpose as well.
Right. You know? He got it out of his system with your...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Nice.
Everything happens for the purpose. And I had to do the solo record, really, because I just wanted to go to play in the States. The 69 Eyes hadn't been there for a decade, but I love the road in America, you know, the original Jack Kerouac road, being on the road, you know, that's my life. That's what I want for my life. So I wanted to get on the road. So I put out the solo album. I put up a little band from LA musicians from bands like LA Guns, Faster Pussycat, you know, and Devil Driver. And we did some tour in the West Coast, and that really was important me personally.
I bet.
And then, you know, like that also, you know, open up the door to bring the 69 Eyes back on the American map.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything happens for the purpose, but, you know, everything happens. Nothing has anything to do with, like I already said, this curse word, which is not a curse word if you ask from Gene Simmons, business. Everything happens just because, you know, we are rockers and we're outlaws and we love to play rock and roll from our heart.
Yeah, sweet. Well, let's play a little rock and roll for the listeners. We want to introduce them to, if they haven't heard any of the new tracks you've been releasing, we want to close the interview by playing Black Orchid. Do you want to set that song up for the listeners a bit?
Oh, yeah. All right. Here's Jyrki from the 69 Eyes, your favorite Helsinki vampire. We have a new album coming out. We currently have a new single, which is called Black Orchid. And telling a little bit about the lyrics, I love the music video of Sisters of Mercy called Dominion. Check that out from Google that. Google Sisters of Mercy Dominion. Check the video out. There's a guy, Andrew Eldridge, the singer, dressed up in white, and he's a world traveler in a exotic places. So I sort of pictured a new adventure for that character and wrote lyrics from that character's perspective. And this adventure happens in Singapore. And then there's an exotic dancer. She's called Black Orchid.
We'll get to that song in just a moment. And Jyrki, thank you so much for talking with us.
No problem, sir.
It's been fantastic hearing your stories. And we're really psyched for the new album to be coming out next month on, yes, Friday, the 13th of September.
Hope to see you guys soon. And remember, rock and roll is never too loud.
Watching